We're studying in Isaiah about Pentecost. We went through what? We've gone through 42. What did we do? 40? 41, 42. Did we do 49 yet?
No.
I don't think we did.
No.
All right, Isaiah 49. Try to see why in each of these that we read, why these would be the readings for Pentecost. I thought I had growth on my foot, but it was a piece of stuff. Anyway, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I shall be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work is with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to his servant, to bring Jacob again unto him, to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet will I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Remember the whole idea. The whole idea of the three pilgrimage feasts is that we are betrothed on Passover, and that's why we read Song of Solomon. We are empowered on Pentecost. And that's one of the reasons all these, but we are empowered not for, we're empowered for one thing. We are empowered to be cleansed so that there is no garment spotted by the flesh, there's no hidden things within you, that it's all integrity, really. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb is on Sukkoth, or Tabernacles. So, the reason I said that is, though Israel be not gathered, in verse 5, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. That started me thinking earlier today about pep rallies. One of the weirdest things that I ever did was, I was vice president of a company called Enthusiasm Incorporated. That was my last commercial venture. And it was a pep rally thing, where to teach you how to continue and maintain enthusiasm. And I was dating a gal that was Miss Texas at the time. And so she and I and Arnold Palmer made a recording. And this, our whole series of recordings, and those recordings were the teaching for this product of how to maintain and keep enthusiasm. It's probably the thing that drove me over the edge.
Teach by example?
What?
Could you teach by example?
Oh yeah, I was great. I went around and gave talks to car salesmen and real estate people. But Harry tried everything he could to find that. It's a product, but it's a series of recordings in his gallery and stuff, but it's in a white thing. Anyway, he tried everywhere he could to find the problem. He wanted to gig me really bad with that. Anyway, this is the thing that we lose when we continue in something, some work, some sport, some, no matter what it is. And everybody tries. The, you know, sports coaches are, that's what they do. They teach the people to be enthusiastic. If you've ever been to one of these sales meetings of real estate agents, it's just incredible. I mean, they have more rallies and pep rallies and how to keep the people and, you know, alive. And, but that's what Christianity has become. It's a system of how to use or to find the soul power within you to continue to be successful. Now this is from everything I've seen, this is what's happening with Joel Osteen. It's what happens with all the charismatic preachers. It's what happens on every, if you ever, I watched a little bit of the TBN telethon, and that's what it is. It's all how to maintain enthusiasm. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you get unenthusiastic, and then you fail. And you think the reason you failed is that you needed more enthusiasm. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever experienced any of this? Huh?
Yeah.
What?
What you just said.
No, but what is it that you experience is what I'm saying.
Motivation as it flows and enthusiasm or motivation or that terrible word purpose.
Gary?
What's in my head? I mean, I've experienced different types of Larry Ferguson and Wolfgang and I would have a business meeting. Larry would come out walking on air. He got so excited and enthusiastic, and it would last maybe 5 hours on a good day. And then the depression hit, and he went as far down as he was up. You know,
oh, I know.
Other people might take a little longer, but he was a great example. I saw it once with this pyramid scheme guy we were involved with, the hair lip. He would get all the godly old people together, and they were going to sell his makeup in a pyramid deal, and they were so enthusiastic. Just, I mean, crowds of old people just dancing like they found a new lease on life. You know? That, too, didn't take long.
I remember when I was a kid being signed up to be a Bible salesman, and I just freaked out after I was about half a day or so. I backed out. They didn't want me to back out.
But why did you back out?
Heathen. He's a heathen. I couldn't imagine doing it anyway.
No, but I'm trying to think about it. Why did you back out?
Well, part of it turned me off. The pitch that I would have to learn. Well, it's about charisma. I mean, Hitler was a salesman. You know, it's about charisma, motivational speakers, people. There's, you know, that brainwave length or whatever it is. You latch onto that. You know, here, kitty, kitty, like you say, it's over.
And it's also selling the right product at the right time to the right person.
Sounds like you had a course or two. You had a course or two.
Anybody experience it in sports activities?
Never.
Of course.
Never your coaches? we had, our school was very small, our high school, and so there's just one coach for everything. And I played football a little bit, and I was a pitcher in baseball. And I couldn't, and I would not play basketball. It was just because I just hated to run, and I'm running up and down like that just made me nuts. And he would do everything in his power. It wasn't just me that hated to run. Everybody hated to run, but the whole idea of the pep rally kind of thing to honor the name of the school, or, and then the same thing started, you know, is going on in politics. I mean, that's all it was. That's how you get voters, is you get them enthusiastic. But it's a whole world system to do, but it always fails. It always goes downhill. And so then you need more, and it goes downhill some more, and then you need more and more and more and more. It's a never-ending thing.
Are you referring to group zeal?
Well, whatever.
But it's an illusion.
But it's the idea of continuance that's... Let's go to Romans 5. We're going to take a side trip.
I played on a football team one time, and the coach was had us before the game in the locker room and was giving us this pep talk, and all of a sudden people were jumping up and down and screaming and beating on each other's backs, and he had us into this frenzy, and he said, "Now I want you to go out there and I want you to block and I want you to hit," and so we ran for the door, and the guy pulled the doorknob off the door. We were absolutely trapped in there, and all this enthusiasm and all this excitement just went, no place to go, and we sat there with our shoulders down.
That's great.
That's a great story.
Now, knock that door down.
Okay, Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This, and what we're talking about here is this idea of being empowered on Pentecost. And it has to be a power, an empowerment, that has nothing to do with soul power. It has nothing to do with group dynamics. It has nothing to do with, you know, this whole idea of like having crowds to be able to get the anointing, and I'm speaking facetiously, but you know what I mean, right? Remember, again, we said before, but I think it was Mark, if I remember right, Mark Havel did a study, or if it wasn't him, he told me about it. But anyway, they studied the people that went to crusades, and they had the same effect as drug addicts, because they go to a crusade and they get all excited, and then within a few days the excitement goes down and they're gone, and then so they have to go to another one, and then it just keeps going and going and going and going. And it's just like any other addiction. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the empowerment. Well, let's read it. This is what this is talking about. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And remember, tribulation is I love this, philespis. And it means pressure or oppression and affliction, distress, straits. It's all of these. And remember when we studied it a long time ago, it's the word that would describe a very small tube of toothpaste with a very small end, opening, and you had to squeeze the toothpaste to get it through the opening. Well, that's the lespis. And tribulation worketh patience.
Just one thing. The patience, tribulation worketh in you the ability to wait, which is patience, and not
think that's earlier in the process, in this, because the whole idea of what you just said is dealt with at being born again, because it's the baptism of repentance. And so you've seen the end of that kind of stuff. This is the one. I'm going to go there. You don't have to, but Luke. Well, anyway, I can't remember where it is, but it's the one with where Jesus defines a disciple. It's, you are they that have continued with me in my temptation, not yours. In my tribulation, not yours. And so the idea is that it's recognizing what happens and who it's happening to that's critical here. So let me continue on this. And work with patience. Patience is constancy, endurance, perseverance, steadfastness. I mean, that there's a continuance of the same level of empowerment. It doesn't change. In fact, it increases with the tribulation. All right. And I wrote this down. It's characteristic of one who has not swerved from purpose by the greatest trials and suffering. You still continue in that same purpose. Tribulation worketh experience, or patience, and patience experience. Now, experience is a bad translation. It's dokima, and it means you have been put to the test for the purposes of approving and have passed. It's a word that would describe gold ore that has been assayed and all the impurities gone. This experience is it's tested worth is what it means. All right. So we have tribulation worketh experience. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Now, what is experience? An experience, hope. The hope you remember, I've said often that the only time hope is used in the Bible, it's never used as it is in our English language for the expectation of some good thing. It is always used with regard to the resurrection. In one case, hope was used when, I can't remember who it was, I think it's the only time it's used in the Old Testament, about hidden in a rock, slab, or cave kind of thing until a storm passed. But it's certainty that what is promised will come to pass. And so really what it means is total faith. But all this has to do with this mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the idea that and this is where the waiting comes in again. Rather than returning as you did in pagan life, returning to cause and effect or your own understanding or advice or whatever it is, you wait, and you wait only on the Lord. And He puts you in a position where He alone can fix it, if you will. And so that's why waiting, they that wait upon the Lord, that's what we read last time, that shall renew their strength, they shall rise up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. So, now anyway, that's enough of that. Let's go back to Isaiah. I just wanted to take that side because I was thinking about it.
One thing caught me here, all the noise leading up to patience.
Yeah, and spirit here means tested character.
Yeah. That becomes a part of you.
Yeah.
Spirit forms you because it's got rid of the dross, I guess, of, which is doubt and fear and all the little beasts.
Right now. All right. Isaiah 40, what were we, 49? Why do I have to take a little side trips all the time? Does anybody know where I stopped?
Five.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet will I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And that's what we stopped. That's what we took the side trip. And he said, it is a light, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will give, and I'll preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Now remember, this, remember we went, when we studied this high place stuff before, the high place activity is where, of the seven mountains of your mind, is where all of this weirdness takes place. And the internal religion where you, it's the religion of the Gentiles, and you've got all the same languages and the same things going on up here in your mind. Remember, but then we were taught to destroy the high places. And then it says you can dance on the high places. Now it says you can even feed on the high places. So there's, once you see that through the lies of Jazaniah and Saphon and all his little friends, then it's just there's nothing there to fear. Doesn't mean you go back and use those high places for anything. They're useless, except you might say as a place to dance or play, not to get anything serious about it. Understand? You dance on your idols. You don't dance for them. All right? Why? You're doing it.
I love that because the tendency of a of the mind is to hear this stuff and think, okay, everything's going to become different and I'm going to change and I'm going to be accepted with God, which not the way it is. And so what that's saying to me is the conditions don't change, but instead of worshiping, you're dancing. You're not subservient, you're a master of your high place, if you want to say it that way. Or you're not connected to it, you're not subject.
You give it no breath.
It has no power. It's still there, it just doesn't have the power.
Right, but unless you give it to it.
And you can give it if you want to, and then you can, you know.
Well, that's where we disagree. You can't give it if you want to, because then you're continuing in sin that grace may abound. Well, and God forbid, that's what it says.
Fact is, it happens. So.
Well, I know, but it can't be justified. It always has to be God forbid. All right. Why do I always lose my place?
Here's in verse 10, starting.
Thank you, Pete. Pete's got the super Bible. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord, by the way, did you hear that mockingbird starting about 4 this morning?
I heard you.
I'm not. No, there was a mockingbird. I'm saying
this. They've been singing. Sing, O heavens. And they have.
You heard me singing?
No, I didn't.
You heard me drop the pan.
I heard you drop something.
All right.
And they sing completely different tunes. They just keep going.
I counted them once. I tried to make sure it was, because it was, it looked like it was a cycle. 33 different. He was mocking 33 different bird calls. Anyway,
I heard him sing Frank Sinatra myself.
You're not a well person. Sing. No, this don't start. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and the walls are continually before me. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gathered themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction even shall now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, saying, I have lost my children, and I am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible one shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with me, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Tested, tried, integrity. Surely, sure confidence. Consistency, constancy, steadfastness under any condition. No need for enthusiasm incorporated. All right, that's enough. Anybody have any other comments? Take it, big guy. Steal it.
I could, but then I'd have to replace it. I'm responsible for it.
Do you want some help looking on Craigslist?
Yeah. I kind of already looked on Craigslist.
No, you might call it. There's Gary. Postings every day on Craigslist.
I know.
Your little Gary?
Yeah. My little boy.
Your little son?
He's got a crazy resource.
That's a good idea. He's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, he can. He and I had a long talk. I mean, it's really
neat.
Well,
I'll talk to you
then.
By the way, that sink you got us, I just love it. It's just great.
Good.
Good. Okay.
Next we'll get you a screen.
I feel like an adult because before, I mean, I feel like an adult person. Before, the sink was so far down there.
Yeah. I raised it 3.5 inches, too.
And besides, he raised it 3.5 inches above where it already was.
It was already a couple of inches taller than their old guy.
Well, that was great. Thank you.
Well, good. Even that hardware iteration.
Oh, yeah.
Bad, it looks like the film clips are showing clips from actual performances, training sessions, and stuff. I don't know. Justin, they got one of the community service guys that started his hours yesterday. He's a construction supervisor. Gary briefly about it, said, yeah, try check down the middle, it was a simple matter of getting a bottle jack in there. Raising, it's not that simple, but you've got the airline foundation, all you have to do is jack it up and block it there. It's working your way down each time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll bet, you know, we come up an inch or two along the middle. That's significant.
Yeah, yeah.
Couple inches. You don't wanna come up too much because all the doors are adjusted for that slant. And once you come up, if you come up pretty level, then you gotta redo every door. All the cannon this way.
Alright, well, that's fine.
We'll see how things go this way.
By the way, well, both of you are here.
Dress down?
Huh?
Is anything gonna be done about that line?
What line?
Well, that's a flat over here.
We thought we'd just leave it like that. We like that broken look.
No, we've been looking online.
Yeah, Gary and I are working.
You know what I think happened? You know, I saw a kid over there once, he was not really, he was.
It was the wind.
Well, we.
It's been repaired.
It happened on the